Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy! Light him up, Colin!
Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. We got three game threes today. The wild card series. This is why the short series is interesting, because we've been in the baseball playoffs for about 72 hours, and now you got three do-or-die opportunities for three different series. Now, we were lucky enough that, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, since the playoffs expanded, it's always been mostly a sweep. Team that wins game one is usually the team that wins game two. It's usually two in and two out. You saw that with the Dodgers and the Reds last night. But now, three of the four series going to a game three. We got one going on right now. Detroit, an early lead over the Cleveland Guardians, 1-0, entering into the fourth inning. You got Boston and New York going to be at 8 p.m. tonight. Another great, great baseball game last night where the Yankees were victorious. A very tense finish of the game, 4-3 on that front. And the Padres won 3-0 yesterday, really shut out that Cubs offense. Did a terrific job throughout the game. They're managing their pitching staff. And now with a game three, this is going to be about who can we pitch and when. Should be a whole lot of fun. We top of the fourth inning. We'll give you updates with the Cleveland-Detroit game where Mike Rizzo has said that the Cleveland's dead already.
And no, I didn't say that.
We're 3 innings in, Mike.
I'm a little worried. The whole not hitting thing, it's Jack Flaherty. I understand Jack Flaherty was a Cy Young candidate back in 2019. Yeah.
Doc Gooden. Let's take it easy, right?
Well, we're making him look like Doc Gooden, brother. That's what I'm saying. And the guards are deep into their pen already. Heron pitched. Cantillo, for God's sakes. Everyone, hang on to your seat. It's Cantillo.
You're going to have to hit today.
We're going to have to hit. And you have not hit yet again. And, you know, game one, you scored. You didn't score enough. Yesterday, you had the explosion in the eighth and the ninth.
Hopefully, we get a classic so we could see your live reaction as we continue on.
I'm already sweating it out, brother. But I'll tell you, you mentioned that game in the Bronx last night. I mean, that's everything you want in a baseball game. I really do think that's everything you want in a baseball
game. As good of a series as there possibly could have been to this point, and you're hoping it's going to be good tonight, because now they got two rookies on the mound. And Connelly Early and Cam Schittler. So you're going to have two big-time players or two young, inexperienced players, and then the big-time hitters with an opportunity to score some runs. So Schittler and whatever his name is, Early, going at it tonight at Yankee Stadium in Game 3.
Now, Rodon was – I thought he pitched well last night.
Yeah.
I thought he would pitch well in a big spot.
Fell apart completely in the seventh, but, I mean, he was fine.
He did, and – in classic fashion, it's like all Yankee fans were complaining a little bit, like, why do you bring him back out there when it was the absolute opposite with Fried two nights ago when you pulled him too soon. So give credit to the bullpen, too. Cruz, Williams, and Bednar were fantastic. How great was Bednar in that ninth? Almost struck out the side.
Needed that.
I mean, he was unbelievable. 16 pitches to get out of that inning for Bednar. I thought Cora went with Whitlock a little too long. Now, I know he had that amazing streak of not giving up runs.
Yeah, Cora was going for it. That's what you could tell. He was trying to get rid of them. He was trying to win.
He had Chapman up.
He was trying to beat them.
They put in Tully after Whitlock blew up in that bottom of the eighth, and I thought they'd definitely go Chapman, but listen, now you save Chapman. You got him on a day of rest. I know he warmed up last night. Takes a little bit, you know, takes a little juice out of you, but you basically have Chapman on a full day rest and a winner go home. And you mentioned the two rookies and Cam and the other guy. It's like, it's anyone's game tonight. I think it's anyone's ball game tonight. So that's going to be a fun one at 8. And I am looking forward to the Cubby and the Padre game and a winner go home. I'm interested to see, Colin, how Craig Counsell is going to manage a winner go home. But I think three games, if you want to count my Guardians, but two must-see games tonight coming up at 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock.
Yeah, if you're the Yankees, I actually favor the Yankees a little bit tonight. I do think they're going to win because Connelly Early, the starting pitcher for the Red Sox tonight, 4 career games under his belt, 4 in the major leagues, 4. You cannot let this guy come out and shut you down. Now, on the other side, Schittler, he has played all year. So you got a guy with a little bit more experience, again, inexperienced, but a little bit more comparatively to the Boston side. New York can't lose this game tonight. Can't lose this game tonight. Not in this facet. Not after what happened yesterday. And yesterday was awesome. Because the big takeaway with yesterday is, yeah, Cora really had to dive into the bullpen. He was really trying to put the Yankees away. Every chance they got, the Boston responded. Two-run home run for Ben Rice. They immediately come back with two of their own. Then on the other side, once they get to three, they tie it up immediately after with three themselves. And then eventually they put him away. They blew the lead, got back into it, tied again. It was really entertaining on that front. But the one thing I would add to this is Ben Rice and Jazz Chisholm, who are on the bench in game one, who are on the bench for reasons about matchups and hitting lefties and whatever it might be, they came out and they were probably two of the most, if not the most important players in yesterday's game.
And Rice smoking that two-run homer in
the
first inning.
He opened things up. He had another double. Jazz Chisholm saved a run from giving them the lead when they tied it up at three in the sixth inning when he had that diving play in the infield and then saved it at bases loaded when he totally could have went home and he didn't. And Nate Eaton could have went home to take the lead and they didn't. He saved a run there. And then he was the only one in that Yankee lineup who would have scored from first on that go-ahead run. He was the only one. And he got an early lead, but he is the only one with the speed to do that. Too big. And you got to think for players like that, that's their screw you to the manager. They agree. They like playing for Boone. They said that. But deep down, selfishly, they're thinking, I should have played in that game.
I don't see how Rice isn't the everyday first baseman.
Well, they got Goldschmidt there,
And they paid him money. But he got brought up on the broadcast that, you know, they basically think that Rice is going to be in contention to be that everyday first baseman next year. And I think he's kind of
earned
it.
And that's fine because
he's earned it.
Goldschmidt's been a little bit of the gateway, the bridge player. But they got two good players that, you know, are capable of playing, hitting in their top three easy. But I give them both credit because they really did do a, hey, Boone, don't bench me again game.
Right.
And that's exactly what the Yankees needed. They, you know, and Boone said that post game after game one. He goes, hopefully this motivates them. And that's exactly what it did. Now, I'm not going to give Boone credit for that. But I will say that Jazz Chisholm and Ben Rice were two major difference makers in yesterday's game. Yeah. Now, Judge has the RBI to his name. I can't listen to that.
You didn't like
Jaron Duran.
Yeah,
that was an error of all errors.
They called it a base hit
RBI. Christian has no idea what I'm talking
about. Correct, because he was at the wrestling event.
Watched every out.
That was not an RBI single. And they are 2 for 3 with an RBI. Please. I mean, 1 for 3. Come on. Call the
error.
That'd
be on the Sports Center top 10 if you made the catch.
Nonsense.
Fine. Take away that one hit from Judge. He's 3 for 8.
Christian doesn't even know what game we're talking about.
Why is that, Colin?
Christian yesterday, Yankee fan of Yankee jersey today, spent his evening driving down to the Guitar in Fort Lauderdale, that Hard Rock Casino, and drives up, you know, 2 hours down there, stops at a Moe's and gets some food, and then he allegedly claims that he was watching the game the entirety of the way while at an AEW wrestling event live.
Sure did. Was in the 300 level.
Christian got updates every time somebody got a hit.
I tried to keep him
updated. And he texted us, oh, big hit by Judge on the RB. That's when I knew you were phony.
Because he did like
big
Magic
hit
Johnson.
By Judge. Big hit by Judge. Like, that is not a big hit. That is an RBI. That is an error, my friend.
Right.
But, I mean, Christian and allegedly then, watched
hang
the game.
Hang on. Judge later on in the game striking out in a big moment, too. So, I told you and Christian, I do like Judge. I would like to see him have postseason success in his
Yankee
tenure.
He's just trying to get the bat on the ball and trying to get on base.
He needs to have a missile tonight.
Yeah.
My God.
You're waiting for it. But you'd rather him
He does not need to do that because then he overswings and it's home run or bust.
That's where you get nervous. But he is eventually going to need to be a great, great.
It's a player who hit 351 homers, mate. Yeah,
I agree with that. But to start the postseason, getting him on base was the most important part. So now I agree. You're going to have to let loose eventually, especially against a rookie. You get a rookie out there. If Judge is not swinging for the fences, I don't know what we're doing.
Right.
I don't know what we're doing.
It's the pitch he has a hard time laying off of is the outside sweeper. It's right off the outside corner. It looks like it's coming in, and it goes outside. He all year long, I feel like he did a really decent job of laying off on that. But now come playoff time, you're seeing him go back to a little bit, swinging at the outside slider and the outside sweeper. So that's my 2 cents on Judge. I told you, the singles in game one were great. I thought last night, I agree with you, it probably should have been an error, but it was certainly a hit that you hope would kind of get the fire going in him. Then he comes up later on and with the strikeout. How about Wellsy? Wellesley the one to bail the Yankees out last night.
My
cousin's a big Yankee fan, and he complains to Kingdom Come about how Wells and the bottom of the lineup still stinks. They didn't get Soto, and that was a big hit by that guy.
Hated that.
I always say that guy could go. He hits, what, 20, 25 homers a year?
Yeah, like, he's a decent all-around catcher.
I don't mind him.
He's a decent all-around catcher.
I kind of like him, man.
He is.
And I think
it's better than when they were doing the Gary Sanchez Higashioka experiment, where they'd have Gary Sanchez come in. He'd hit about 124, but the occasional home run. And then Higashioka would come in and be a decent defensive catcher. They're trying to figure him out. That was a mess. So they got an everyday guy now.
Yeah.
If that works.
And on the flip side for Boston, you know, it's the Trevor Story night.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like he's been waiting for a moment like this since he went to the Red Sox. He came on over from the Rockies. It was bad there.
He's never been healthy,
really, for a big-time run. So for him to get this opportunity in the playoffs, it was cool to see him take advantage of that as well. I can't stress enough how must-see TV I think this game will be tonight.
You think the Yankees will win, or you think the Boston will win?
I think the Yankees will win. The Yankees will win. It's like damned if you are, damned if you don't, because I can't stand both of these teams. You know, I mentioned my uncle is like a second father to me. He's a Boston fan. He's driven me nuts my whole life. And then, you know, you got Yankee fans like Christian today naming our stream, watch Mike Rizzo's heart get broken. So, you
know, this has nothing to do. That series has nothing to do with
it. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just Yankee fan. You know, it's something Yankee
I root against the Yankees, but I root for a good series. And I like the idea of doing Toronto versus the Yankees more than I like the Boston versus
winner,
Toronto.
And I told you this, I think, what, Tuesday? I think the winner of this series goes to the World Series. So I think, and I know we talked a lot how the both of you kind of think the playoff format's a little phony in that. But I think the winner of this series tonight will probably go to the World Series because I don't trust Seattle. Don't even get me started on Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto's happy though right now because they're watching both these teams deplete their bullpens and basically use every means at their disposal to try to escape this game. You could say the same thing about this Guardians and Tigers series. That's what they're thinking about. They're thinking, oh, they got two rookies tonight. They're going to dive into that bullpen probably pretty early on both sides, especially if it goes south. And all of a sudden, with Garrett Whitlock, who is the Boston's second-best guy out of the bullpen, going 50 pitches last night.
Unbelievable.
50. You're probably not going to see him tonight. I'd be surprised. Maybe he does on short rest like that. You're definitely going to see Chapman. You're going to see some of the big guys that they have. But you're going to go – their bullpens are going to be completely depleted.
Yep.
Now, the good news is there's a day off on the first 2 days of the game, but Toronto's thinking about that, and they're thinking, good, keep going. You know, wear everybody out, especially with the arms. So that's something to keep an eye on.
And Toronto's top heavy, you know, with some of their pitching with Gausman, Bassett.
But they're just going to be
Berrios.
Rested. They're going to be rested. Yeah. That's going to be. Remember last year, we always talked about how the team who played in the middle of the week had the advantage going in to the divisional series because they were stayed warm, stayed loose. I'm starting to think that teams have figured this out a little bit on how to keep the guys warm. There's been inter-squad scrimmages. I know the Phillies did that. The Brewers did that. But I also think now with a lot of these series going to three games, and they don't usually, you're going to see a little bit more depletion in terms of the bullpen, the arms. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and Whitlock, it's interesting with him because they started him a few times too. Like
He's their setup man.
So
he's their setup man.
They're not going to go to him tonight on 50 pitches, but
that'd be rough.
Kyle, if they are able to win this game, I think he'll be just fine to be available for that game one against Toronto. But I just got done saying, I think the Yanks win tonight. Now, I can't tell you what these starting pitchers are going to look like tonight. I can't tell you that Boone.
Schwetler's pretty good. He's had a pretty good year.
I can't tell you Boone or Cora aren't going to do what Vogt did today with Slade Ciccone.
They're going to keep Schwetler in as long as they can.
So Ciccone, Kyle,
for the Yankees,
one of the better pitchers at the end of the year for the guards, consistently going 6-7.
Yeah, he's
Voter pulled him out in 2.2.
This is a different game. This is a different game because this is all situational. The runs are going to be tough to come by in this Guardians Tiger game. So because of that, you don't want to be that guy to give up the big run.
And I think this is what that's kind of what you're going to see with the Yankees and the Red Sox tonight is that, and I know the Red Sox used the pen more last night.
And
there's
going to be more scoring in that game.
And guys are going to be going doubles. Who you think Bednar will do a double again? I mean, a triple. I mean, do you see Weaver tonight? I feel like if you're asking questions about the bullpen,
that's a real question. Williams has went two nights, and Williams has been good.
Same with Bednar.
You're going to go guys three nights in a row? Let's see.
Yeah, so it's
they're going to have to.
This is the best soap opera on TV right now, the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Yeah, and it was a great game yesterday. Christian has no idea, once again, what we were talking about. And as we close out the wild card series, and the Cleveland, they got a man on right here on second base.
Okay, can I butt in?
3-2, Jose Ramirez at the plate.
You need Jose here. You need Jose to get that RBI single. You saw Kwan get the monkey off his back. 3-2 count, man. This is a guy who's
no outs. He's okay with walking. This is going to be an uncompetitive pitch. Let's give a live reaction really quick. This is going to be low and away. Oh,
yeah!
And it got through the gap.
You got it, center.
And the right center. He's going home.
Down. Yes.
One all. Bottom of the fourth. Cleveland ties it up against Detroit. Jose Ramirez, an RBI single. How about that against Jack Flaherty?
God, I needed that. Team captain, best player on the team, finally getting an RBI single in this, an RBI for that matter, in this series. You saw Kwan get it yesterday, and obviously Bo Naylor and Rocchio going huge. So let's hope this gets some momentum this inning. I'm sorry to all the Detroit fans out there.
This is what Cleveland does. They hang around. This game's going to be 2-1 once again.
You hope the bullpen can last because it got taxed yesterday and Voter went into it before the third inning.
This is going to be a 2-1 game. That's Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Cat Russo and Rizzo. We'll take a time out here. Getting to what we saw from the Dodgers yesterday. That might be the Dodgers' league to lose after what we've seen the last 2 days. Terry Francona, not a good game on his front. But that's all coming up. A lot more to do. We'll rank our NFL teams as well in the power rankings. That's all coming up. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Cat. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. We are streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X at ESPN West Palm. Also on your radio dial, ESPN 106.3. Baseball wildcard. We got three game threes today. The Cleveland Guardians just tied it up against the Detroit Tigers in the fourth inning. It is now 1-1. Jose Ramirez, a RBI single, immediately tries to steal second. Didn't work out. Quick inning after that was we enter into the Tigers' chance to respond.
Jose's stolen 46 bases on the year. It was a hell of a throw by Dingler, the catcher. By the way,
you had to make that move. You had to make that. Bats are tough to come by.
By the way, tough last name. Dingler, it's a tough last name, mate.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a bad way. In a bad way. That's a tough
last name. Like an elf.
That's a tough last name, dude.
Yeah, it's all right.
Now, he is a Buckeye, so fair play to him. Apparently, Mike Jones, our Detroit man, our teammate here at ESPN West Home, he told me he went to Ohio State. So, I fair play to me because I had no idea. So,
not in tune with Ohio State baseball?
Can't say I am, bro.
No, okay.
Now, reminds me of Fairly Odd Parents, like Dinkelberg.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's so funny you say that. I said that out in the common area. I said, Dinkelberg. You've seen Fairly Odd Parents?
I think I have. I don't remember that. I remember that.
Christian,
that's
you and me.
That's a great reference, bro. Colin discourage.
No, I didn't say anything.
And then one of my favorite things in Fairly Odd Parents, Christian.
We don't need to go down the
Doug Dimmadome and how his hat, which is keep getting exponentially bigger. Doug Dimmadome at home of the Dimmsdale Dimmadome.
We don't need to go down
that. That was my favorite of the Disney and Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network cartoons.
It was really good. It really was good.
And the crossovers with Jimmy Neutron.
Now, I was Avatar The Last Airbender, but I get it.
Makes sense. It's more your flavor.
More anime. I grew up watching Naruto and Dragon Ball, so Pokemon.
Never was a big SpongeBob guy.
Oh, I love SpongeBob.
Like people just die and swear by SpongeBob. You ever hear the households weren't allowed to watch SpongeBob for
some unknown
reason?
My mother hated his laugh. I will say that. My mom got irritated by SpongeBob's laugh all the time.
Colin, were you allowed to watch SpongeBob?
Yeah, I was.
Are you talking about me, SpongeBob?
We good?
Yeah, we're good. Sorry, I'm trying to...
Dodgers. Let's go Dodgers really quick because I'm curious about your thoughts on this series. They took down the Reds fairly easily. The bats have woken up. Mookie Betts played great. Otani played great. They played Roki Sasaki in the closing role. He was superb. Yamamoto was pretty great. They got out of a tough jam in the bottom of the sixth inning with a bases-loaded opportunity with only one out, and they were able to get out of that. Dodgers move on to take on the Philadelphia Phillies, and based on what I have seen, and they have two things here. Number one, this is the perfect amount of rest between now and game one in the divisional series on Saturday. And number two, Shohei Ohtani is going to be starting on the mound in his first playoff appearance for the Dodgers and in his career Saturday at Citizens Bank.
Must see TV. And thoughts on the Dodgers, Kyle? the bats woke up. And, you know, all they needed was October, right? You know, they get after Hunter Green early. Shohei Ohtani has two bombs in game one. And then I texted you. I didn't know if you were up, bud, but I texted you. I said, I hope this lasts for the Reds. You know, they were up 2-0. It was 3-2. Kyle, you want to know where the game was over when they didn't score with the bases loaded and it was still a 3-2 ball game. And when they didn't score there, sure enough, the next inning, they blow it up to 7. And just like that, the Reds are already done. You know, so
they don't have the pitching.
No, they don't have the pitching. And quite honest,
Red fan is very upset with how Terry Francona handled the game in terms of putting in Lodolo there and why he started Littell. Andrew Abbott, who's probably their best pitcher, was probably going to go game three, but they didn't use him earlier in a do or die spot. They were upset.
I had Guardian fans reaching out and saying, you know, Red fans are finding out, you know, what we dealt with Tito for the last 2 years. Because I had a lot of buddies that complained about Tito. The kingdom come. But listen, I don't want to hear it. I've always been a Tito defender.
Hall of Famer.
I don't want to hear it. Where were the Reds before Terry Francona came to that franchise? They were one of the worst teams in the Central year in and year out. They make the playoffs.
He gets
into
the postseason. He's great over the marathon. It's just the in-game stuff, at least at this point in his career, that's where he's
The only gripe I had on him was 16 when he brought back Shaw after rain delay. That's it. You won't hear me complain about it. But I think it was more about the Mets blowing it than the Reds making it. That was supposed to be the Mets there.
Yeah,
so.
Red fan was not happy with how they handled that. It's not like you were going to beat the Dodgers anyway because the Dodgers were going to hit on basically anybody. Mookie Betts, who did not have a great year, is playing outstanding. Otani's doing what Otani does. How they're going to use Roki Sasaki, if it's in a closer role where they need help, danger for everybody else because that's a tricky spot. They're going to have Otani. We'll see if he pitches well. I'm going to assume he will. That's going to be a very intriguing series. And dare I say, Philadelphia should be very nervous. Now, the good news is Philadelphia is not necessarily afraid of a postseason environment. And dare I say, they've just wanted a chance to get a crack at the Dodgers after the Mets kind of shunned them out last year. So they're looking to just get a chance at this team. And that's going to be a heavyweight slugfest. You think that the winner of the Boston-New York series is going to go to the World Series? I would make a hefty bet. I know there's only 4 to go once you get to that. But the winner of that Phillies and Dodgers series, I'd even make the argument, would be your World Series champion.
Yeah, and I agree with the champ. We'll see who comes out of the AL. I know we said Philadelphia before the playoffs started, so I want to, you know, stay consistent with that. I do think, though, however, one of the NL Central teams, I think it'll be at least 6 games. I don't think it's going to be one of those things where it's 5. But I like the Cubs tonight. I do. I like the Cubbies tonight. I like Council to finally get a
Hugh Darvish in another big game. We've seen this game before, and how many games he has blown, especially for LA.
That and the Padres used a lot of their bullpen yesterday.
Now they got a lot of guys, but you're right. It's going to be a battle of offense. The thing about the Padres that make me nervous is the Padres have a number of big game players: Machado, Tatis. They have big game hitters. Cubs, you don't trust that lineup nearly as much. You don't trust Tucker nearly as much. You trust.
Suzuki's been unreal.
Right, but you trust the Machados and the Tatises of the world. Those are big game players. And if you hate Machado, I get it. But Machado is a big game player. So
how do you hate Manny Machado?
Machado, who hates him? Machado could drive you crazy.
He's
been the worst. Oh, my God.
I love Manny Machado. Always did, dating back to Baltimore. Anyway, hit a big homer, by the way, yesterday.
Padre fan wanted them to walk him before they got there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that is going to be another series where I think offense will prevail. This, the Tigers and the Guardians, pitching will prevail. But in that series in the Padres,
come on, Kyle, they won 6-1 yesterday.
That would be a
six
bats,
runs.
That would be a which is
six
it.
6 runs.
Throw the parade. 6 runs.
Yeah, you should have. We're
first
scoring
time
six.
Since, you know,
we're scoring six.
Independence Day. Oh my goodness.
I can't wait. I can't wait for one of the. Colin hates the AL Central.
I hate the AL Central.
I can't wait for whoever wins this game
to
beat Seattle.
To do nothing.
I can't wait for whoever wins this series to beat Seattle. Seattle.
To do nothing.
Seattle are phonies. They're historic phonies.
That's true.
They're historic phonies.
True.
I'm not saying they're going to beat the AL East team, but my God, whoever wins this series has a chance the next round. You heard it here.
What about the Tigers? If the Tigers, you're going to say they're going to lose in 3.
Dude,
if the
they
Tigers
have Scooble. They're winning at least one game.
Yeah, probably one.
Two if Hinch has enough, you know what, to throw him twice in a 7-game series.
And a 5, yeah. So the thing about it.
Or sorry, 5.
The way I look at it, that Seattle team is going to be the team I root for. the winner of that Dodger-Padre series.
Your buddy, hang on. Your buddy plays for him. What's his name?
George Kirby?
Aren't you guys boys?
That's my guy.
Didn't you guys go to high school together?
No, no. So he's best friends with my cousin. We, a couple times in the summer, he would always come and hang out with us.
Dude, is he one of the boys? Is he one of the boys?
The man. Great pitcher, too. Has not had a great year. He's got the lowest walks per innings pitched in like the American League. So he's a great placement pitcher. He's the man.
Well, they have like four starters.
They have so many starters
like four
every
or five
year.
Starters they could choose.
Woo!
From.
I mean Gilbert. I mean they have so many guys.
Gilbert, Kirby, Castillo.
It's the offense that needs to. Can they show up?
Well, you got the big dumper who had how many? You know, 60 homers.
Right, but he was stunk ever since Arizona traded them away. So all eyes are on that offense.
What did I tell you about it quickly? Gabby Arias is the worst at bat on the team. He is the worst.
We don't need to do.
He is the worst at bat on the team. He struck out on three uncompetitive pitches last time. He's first pitch swinging. Brother, you could look. You could look at a strike. It's not a sin to take a pitch. All right, needed to get that out of my system. That guy's been unplayable, and he's still.
You're
in the
taking
lineup.
The Cubs tonight?
I'm taking the Cubs tonight.
5 p.m. First pitch on ESPN.
I like the home atmosphere. I think Suzuki's going to stay hot. God, you hope Pete Cor Armstrong can do something too. He was so great for about three quarters of the season. The final month.
Did you see Mason Miller painting corners at 104?
Are they going to go the two?
Remember when I was? I threw a fit after they traded him. From the A's to the Padres. And, you know, they got a good comeback at the deadline regardless in terms of the return. But Mason Miller is the best. Now, he is an awesome pitcher.
It'd be three games in a row for Miller if he comes out tonight?
Yep.
So I that's where teams are at right now.
He's got, yeah, that's right. Where teams that's are why at game right threes now, which, are so interesting because it's really where the depth of the team kicks in and it's where if you're going to overuse a guy, how are you going to do it? Yep. So this is the game. If there's any game for the offenses to sort of wake up and take advantage, that is your opportunity. So I'm very intrigued to see what's happening today because you got Boston, and you also got Boston and the Yankees.
Yep.
And the Yankees finally got away from, but they can't beat Boston in the postseason, at least the past a number of years. Finally, they got a win under their belt. It was in a dramatic type of win. And they got two rookies on the mound tonight. We're all sort of eyes on Judge and Stanton to see if they could wake things up in terms of the power hitting. But are you're taking the Yankees as well?
I'm taking the Yankees. I think it'll be the Yanks, the home cooking. I'm going to go with all the home teams. I'm going to go with the Cubbies. I'm going to go with the Yanks. And hopefully the guards are going to be able to see it through as well. But, the bullpens, it's going to be taxing of the bullpen in that Yankee and Red Sox game.
Each game.
I just really think, though, specifically in that Yankee and Red Sox game, Kyle, because of the rookies, and they might, first inning, second inning, you might see those guys walk out there.
I don't know if they have the depth. That they're hoping, Schlettler will give them four or five.
You might even see like a starter do an extended
ending. Well, Cora took out Brian Bello early in the game. Right. They let him see Judge twice, and then they got him out of there.
Yeah.
And then they went into the bullpen, and dare you say that, you know, Cora maybe overmanaged a little bit, maybe pulled him a little too early, but they were right there in the game. It was a matter of one or two plays that was the big difference maker. And they played their guy Whitlock, who was their guy, and he gave up two earned. So that's baseball. That's why it's great.
Yeah. And
when people complain that, hey, you play an 162-game marathon of a season and you feel like you're with this team pitch by pitch, breath by breath for 162, 6 months essentially, and then it's over in two games, that's why it's fun. Or that is why it is fun.
That's why baseball is great.
And life is not fair. It's not supposed to be fair.
No, it's not. And that's why, like, I told you guys yesterday, I think baseball has perfected the playoff scenario.
I don't think so on that regard, but I do like the quick sprint, slow it down.
And it's great when you get good, like in this wild card series, too many times you see a team go 2-0 and do what the Dodgers did. You actually have three really good series right now.
That's why it could all change in the matter of a year. Because remember we talked about there were teams, the last 12 teams to win game one were 12-0 in the series. And on top of that, they were 10-2 in game two after winning game one. The fact that that's changed and are now 1-3, I should say, should tell you that this is just a year by year thing. We sat here same time last year thinking, are these teams that play in the wild card going to have an advantage over the teams over playing in the divisional series and having the bye? And we said that, and then we changed our mind when things
didn't
roll out the way they did. That's just how this goes. And the year before, when it was the Rangers and the Diamondbacks that made their run, all those teams who got the bye lost.
Yep.
So it's a different world year by year, but that's the nature of baseball. That's why this postseason is really interesting.
Yep.
You can listen to all the biggest games, all the biggest stuff, week by week on the ESPN South Florida app. You can listen to myself and Mike on Russo and Rizzo. You can listen to Theoretically Speaking, which is 2 to 4 weekdays. If you're, you know, in the car on the way to some godforsaken wrestling event during Game 2 of the World Series, or to Game 2 of the Wild Card
Christian
round,
missed the whole game. Is that right?
You can turn on the ESPN South Florida app. You can listen to the full play-by-play just on your phone from anywhere. And you could download it for free on the App Store. That's everything from our high school coverage from Palm Beach County through the Treasure Coast, including the Kaiser University football games, including all the biggest games, including the Florida Panthers. New home of the Florida Panthers is ESPN West Palm. It's all on the ESPN South Florida app. Go download it today. What we will do is get into a little Thursday night football and get into our top 10 power rankings for the NFL as we enter into the next week, week 5 of the NFL season. That's all coming up. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. She ain't gonna tie me down. Got you on the road.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. With Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, we got Christian Catt. We're at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. If you missed any of the show, you can listen back on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, all those great places. You got Thursday Night Football tonight, Amazon Prime. You get the 49ers taking on. Who are they taking on tonight? Do we even care about Thursday Night Football?
49ers Rams. And Rams. It's the Rams.
Do we even care? I know they're taking on. But will Brock Purdy? Yeah.
I mean, I'm watching baseball. If it was 2001, I'd be watching baseball.
I'll tell you this. Thursday Night Football is going to feel tonight. They're going to feel it. That Red Sox-Yankee game is going to dent that. They're going to dent the actual rating. That's going to cost them a couple million.
I want to think you're right, but
they're still going to do 10, 12 million. But your Yankees tonight is going to do 5, 6 million.
They're a tough one, Don, brother. They're a tough one.
I think they're going to feel it. Now, think about it. That's a West Coast game. And it's only strictly West Coast. There's something to that.
They're Teflon Don, Cal.
I'd like to see that.
I would love to see it.
That'd be fun. But if you want to watch the Miami Dolphins or you want to watch some of the best teams in pro football south, we'll talk about where you could watch Miami. Mike, take it away.
Folks, Miami is headed to Carolina, and the ESPN West Palm Street team is hitting the road as well at Big Shots in Vero Beach this Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Watch Miami take on Carolina and enjoy $15 Miller Lite buckets. Plus, we'll be giving away 2 tickets to a Miami football game. So come join us at Big Shots in Vero's and enjoy some ice-cold Miller Lights. Must be 21 or older to participate, and please drink responsibly.
Didn't know the Hurricanes were taking on Bill Bell. Different teams. All right, never mind.
No, different team. Different teams. Professional football we talked about.
Okay.
3-1, battle of 3-1 tonight, 8:15 Prime Video. I'm not that into this game tonight.
It's just Red Sox and Yankees.
No, but it's that, like, but it's also, no Brock Purdy really hurts this game.
Yeah. I mentioned the Survivor. We decided to go Indianapolis for our Survivor pick this week at home against the Raiders.
Same here, Hoss.
But my brother made a late push for the Rams at home versus the Niners.
Get away with it.
I told him, I said, dude.
Not a divisional game.
I said, and that's the first thing I told him. And I said, you really want to watch that game tonight? Because he's a bigger baseball fan than us. And he goes, you're right. I said, dude, you don't want to be sweating that out where you got Yankees and Red Sox.
You want to be sweating that out. No Brock Purdy really kills that game.
No, I agree. But I think the Rams will win. I think they'll play pretty well. Nakua, that's Colin's favorite receiver in the league.
Did you see that Xavier Howard retired after they played the Rams and after Nakua had a career day? He retired midweek.
God, it's like deflating.
Former Miami Dolphin, Xavier Howard.
Pretty good. That's the issue. Like, you know, you got
Nakua took him for a ride, and then he retired.
Got cooked up like that, and it's just one of those things where it's like, God, I don't have it anymore, and you just hang it up. Fair play to him, dude.
Mid-season.
It's got to be hard.
Don't do that mid-season.
You don't got it, Kyle. Kyle, if you don't got it anymore, football's one of those games where, like,
I mean, Vontae Davis did the same
thing. You're
going
to get injured.
I mean,
if your heart's not in it.
You don't walk away mid-season.
If your heart's not in it anymore, you're going to get injured. I mean, last year.
Your heart's not in it. Was your heart in a month ago, and now it's not in it?
Like, last year, you had players quitting. Who is the guy for the Cardinals who quit on the team last year? Someone quit on some mid-game.
I remember Vontae Davis retired at halftime.
That's it.
That was for the Bills or the Colts.
I'm sorry. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Thank you for the context. For some reason, I thought that was Gannon's Cardinals, but we've seen weird things like this before. I mean, we saw that mid-game. We saw it mid-game last year.
Bizarre. Antonio Brown leaving the field during that Jet game.
Wow.
That was different reasons he walked away. I think that was brain damage.
Kyle.
I mean, is it not?
Come on, mate.
I mean, geez.
Come on. That's not something I should be laughing at.
He lost his mind towards his latter half of his tenure.
I apologize. It should not have been my natural reaction to what was said there. But, yeah, you might be onto something.
Speaking of the NFL, let's do a little top 10 rankings presented by Good Week Moving and Storage.
Who's moving up?
Eagles still best team in the NFL. You know that they're not distracted.
Who's moving down?
I'm down on the Packers. This is going to be a major problem. We'll see.
It's time for the Russo and Rizzo NFL Power Rankings, presented by
Good Greek Moving and Storage, your superhero movers.
Folks, it's our NFL Power Rankings, where we go through the best 10 teams in the NFL to find out who will be
number one.
All right, so let's go through this really quick. Our week four top 10 was as follows. The Eagles were number one. The Bills were number two. The Chargers were number three. Tampa Bay was number four. Packers were at five. Lions were at six. The Rams were at seven. Colts, eight. San Francisco, nine. Chiefs, 10. And the Ravens were the first team out at 11. Good news is, Ravens are still out.
You got to decide what to do with the Colts, correct?
Colts, I think, are probably still 10? Hanging around
you
there.
You put them right at 10?
Yes, because I would put them over the Steelers.
Yeah, I would too. Give me that. Give me what we did last week again so I could have it on
file. So the Colts, for example, last week were eight. But the total top 10 was Eagles, Bills, Chargers, 1, 2, 3. 4 was Tampa Bay. 5 were the Packers. 6 were the Lions. 7 were the Rams. 8 Colts. 9 San Francisco. 10 Chiefs. And 11 Ravens. Good news is, you're taking San Francisco out because they lost. And the Colts are probably going to drop. Let's think Colts at 10. You like that?
I like Colts at 10. And let's move on to number 9.
Number 9.
These are our power rankings presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage.
First team out. Can I nominate a team for 11? Okay. Jacksonville.
Okay. So like the team that's knocking on the door... That arguably
I'm not ready to put them in any sort of top 10 until Monday night. They play Kansas City.
Now, my fight back would be maybe a team like Denver, but they are
3-1. Jacksonville's got a better record.
They are 3-1.
You know, Jacksonville has taken the most snaps in the NFL, 164, while leading throughout the entire league. Most snaps while leading.
Well, the Bengal game.
They led the entire Bengal game.
The Bengal game was a disgrace. The Bengal game was an absolute disgrace. So
we'll get to that after we do the ranking.
Similar to
2-1 Detroit.
Number
a little bit of a highlight.
Yeah, similar to what's
but
going
Jags
on there.
Will be first team out. I actually like that. Jags first team out. So 11 is Jags, 10 is Colts. Now you can get creative here.
Now, do you want San Francisco here? Do you want the Rams or the Chiefs here?
I would put Seattle here.
So we'd take out San Francisco and put Seattle? Because the Chiefs are 2-2, but we agree that they're
now
belong,
the one
right?
thing is we get a little phony because the 49ers beat Seattle.
Doesn't matter though. This is week by week.
And this is also a different that team is also battered. It's a completely different San Francisco team comparatively to week one.
Yep.
I would say put the Seahawks here.
All right.
We haven't seen them in a bit. They had a very impressive, I don't care if it was close at the end of the game. It was an impressive Thursday night win last week over Arizona. I'm okay with putting the Seahawks here.
Number 8.
I'm losing my mind.
So we got 8 Guardians. To go. You got Chiefs, Rams, Lions, Packers, Tampa Bay, Chargers, Bills, and Eagles.
Now, how high are we putting the Chiefs? Because I could see them slotting in here at number 8.
You want them to move up? I mean, that was an impressive win.
Or the Packers.
That's a good point. Packers are going to be around here as well.
Because the Packers drew. It's like I'm watching the EPL. Packers drew, Kyle. They got 1 point. Oh, no, wait. They just drew.
Yeah.
That was so ridiculous.
But they lose spots because of the draw.
I wouldn't even put them in, but I know that's...
They're not dropping out of the top 10.
So I'm fine with putting the Packers at 8 after getting a draw.
I think I agree with you.
Eight is the Packers, which leads us to...
Number 7.
I think you put the Chiefs here.
Rams, Lions... Tampa Bay,
Chargers, Bills, and Eagles.
Why do I think the Chiefs should be higher? It's okay. We'll go Chiefs here.
That Jacksonville game will determine a lot.
I think the Chiefs are probably better than Tampa Bay. We'll have to wait and see. And the more
Chargers but you got to get Tampa Bay's got a better line of resume.
Yeah.
Let's put the Chiefs here. I think this is the safe move to put the Chiefs here.
And then,
I mean, they still have two losses. You can't put a team top six not with two losses.
And now number six.
Number six.
Tampa Bay here.
Yeah, it's either Tampa Bay.
Or the Chargers.
Tampa Bay, Chargers, Lions, Rams. Chargers did just lose
their rookie
quarterback.
Rams move up, Lions move up.
You know, we're not penalizing the Chargers or losing to the Giants.
Yeah, definitely. So either you're going to put them six or five. Now, the Chargers beat the Chiefs at full strength head-to-head, which is why we're not putting the Chiefs ahead of them.
Yeah.
I'm fine with putting the Chargers at six because that's a worse loss than Tampa Bay.
Okay. So Chargers six leads number us into five. Tampa Bay?
Tampa Bay probably here.
Tampa Bay's I at think five. Firmly.
Yeah, that makes sense. So to our top 10 rankings, 5 through 11 we have. Tampa Bay is at number 5. Chargers are at number 6. Chiefs at 7. Packers at 8. The Seattle Seahawks at 9. Colts rounded out at 10. And the first team out is Jacksonville. So that's fine. So we got 4 teams remaining. And you got Eagles, the Bills, Lions, and the Rams.
Number 4.
All right.
You're probably putting the Rams here. Rams lost to the Eagles head-to-head.
You like Lions top 3? I'll listen to that.
I do.
I'll listen.
I do. I think you put Rams here at 4 and then number 3.
Number 3.
That's where you put the Lions. No doubt.
I'm in no arguments here. By the way, it's our top 10 presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Rankings, our top 10 power rankings.
Last week, I would have changed my mind because of the one loss and the Lions loss to the Packers head-to-head, but you drew against the Cowboys. That hurts your stock a little bit.
Yep.
Number 2, putting Bills here.
Have to.
And then number 1.
So sadly.
Number 2.
Bills. I want to put Bills 1, but still number 1.
You can't do that.
Still number 1. Your Philadelphia Eagles, who did not complete a pass in the second half and beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa Bay.
And that's fine. I think this is one of our better ones yet. Eagles at number 1. Bills at number 2. Lions at number 3. The Rams 4. Tampa Bay, the Buccaneers at 5. Chargers are going to be at 6 after the loss to the Giants. Chiefs are at 7. Packers are at 8. Seattle Seahawks at 9. Colts 10. Jags 11. That's bad jinx, bad mojo to put Jacksonville in that top 10. So I'm glad we did not.
I have a question for both of you guys. Does not having to complete a pass in the second half of the Buccaneers-Eagles game make the Eagles look better or worse?
Better. They have shown you that they could win in any way, shape,
sadly,
or form.
Sadly, better. Sadly, I want to say we're so bad, but sadly better.
I think I forget which one of you said this. It might have been Russo about how they're replacing the Chiefs as they can look as garbage as they want to. But at the end of their game, you're looking at one team on top and it's almost always them.
And think about it, 2 weeks ago, it was against the Rams, who's another good team, and they threw for 200 yards in the last quarter and a half. So like they could do it any way, shape, or form. Now they're going to ask A.J. Brown every 5 seconds if he's happy. But they could win. And if they continue to win, those players cannot say anything.
Right.
They drop 3 in a row, then the wide receiver can go to the media and say, hey, I want the ball more. I mean, we should get me the ball more. We should do more of that. But if they keep winning, there's not a lot you could say, especially beating good teams on the road. Yep. That was our top 10 NFL power rankings presented by Good Greek Moving.
And folks, if you are hitting the road because you got a new job, you need to move, call my guy Spiro at Good Greek for your total relocation solution. And folks, Spiro and his team, they're the type you could trust with the family. You know, they're the type you could trust. If you're not home, if God forbid, you know, you're moving and you got to go somewhere or whatever, you could trust Spiro and his team at Good Greek for being there with your family while you're not there. That's the big thing. They all go through the Superhero Movers Academy, which I will be participating here coming up soon. They're the ones you could trust. And if you remember anything from what I'm about to tell you at Good Greek, they are the movers you could trust and the movers that you could leave home with your wife and the kids. So that's Good Greek. From packaging and storaging to local and long distance moves, as I mentioned, my guy Spiro and his team at Good Greek has you covered from start to finish on the entire process. Trusted by families, businesses, sports teams like those Hurricanes who are taking on Florida State and the Heat. And I was actually at Heat Media Availability down in FAU today.
But, how'd the team look?
They were missing shots, Cal.
Were
Let's
they?
Put it that way. They were missing some shots.
I went 2 days ago. I did notice the same thing. A lot of missed shots.
Got to say, they were missing some shots. But do you want to know who is a class act? That's Pat Riley. And I got I got a little video. Go to @ESPN West Palm's Instagram. I have a great video of Spoelstra and Riles talking a little bit over the scorer's table. But, I mean, folks, Hurricanes, they trust him. The Heat trust him. And for over 2 decades, they've been doing it for 2 decades, rather, and make your next move simple with Spiro and the team. safe, and stress-free. The world's only total relocation company. That's my guys, Spiro and Good Greek at Good Greek Moving and Storage. And number one this week, again.
Number one.
Those damn Eagles.
Now, the teams outside looking in, I think, are interesting because they're all knocking. The Niners play tonight, of course, so they're sitting at 3-1, but they're battered, injured. Yeah, at a certain point, you're going to have that reflect in their ranking. The Steelers, who a quiet 3-1 as well, and a good win. I mean, a game they almost lost, but a good win in the Dublin, yeah, and in the London game.
And listen, there's a lot of injuries to Lamar Jackson and the Ravens right now. So right. If they could take advantage of winning as many games as possible before they kick it into gear.
Absolutely, and they are on bye right now, too. So they get a week off early in the season. And then the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have shown that they can be really good. I don't know how much I'm buying it yet. I need to see more out of the offense, but they have probably the biggest game of the week on Monday Night Football against the Kansas City Chiefs in Jacksonville. So there's your opportunity for them to really take a step forward. And if they win that game, that's where I'll change my mind. If they win that game, I'll change my mind.
We have a American League wild card winner go home game update live on ESPN 106.3.
Christian, how about you do us the honors?
Bottom of the six in beautiful Progressive Field Park, whatever.
Beautiful
Progressive Field, and it is beautiful. It's a top ballpark in the MLB. Don't you forget it. That's
the sixth seed.
That's your old man. He'll tell you that. That place, dude, great place to watch.
Godforsaken ballpark. Go ahead.
The last team in, Detroit Tigers, are on top, 2-1, over the home team. The 3 seed, Cleveland Guardians, bottom six, one out, 2-2 count with Valera at the dish.
Yep. Dylan Dingler, a solo shot home run to take the lead.
He owed me one.
That's your guy.
First off, Buckeye.
You're making fun of his name, exactly, and then go ahead to take the win.
He owed me one. They didn't win anything yet. It's bottom of the sixth.
Oh, now we're playing. Now Mike from yesterday would have been moaning and groaning. The team is dead. Sell the stadium. You know, fire everybody.
Have you been to Progressive Field? You cannot call
it. I've been to Quicken Loans, and therefore Progressive is right next to it. So I've been around it. I've not been inside.
It's an amazing place to watch a baseball game.
You want to take a look on Hard Rock Bet?
No.
Take out the live line?
No.
Detroit. -210.
Wow.
To win the series.
They think it's over.
That's good line.
They think it's over.
You should get on Cleveland right here.
Cleveland +165.
Mike,
if you
should
want
get
to
on
bet
this.
On the comeback.
Mike, it's a one-run game. Cleveland's been doing this all year.
One swing of the bet.
I hate betting on my teams, man.
It's an emotional bet.
We do it all the time on the show, and it never bodes well.
Maybe you should hedge then.
Guys, I'm banged up right now, as you can tell. In a game where
I think you should get on Cleveland here. I'm surprised you're not doing this. Game, +165. They're down one run in the sixth inning.
In a game where runs are a premium and Dylan Dingelberg hits a home run against you, I'm down tremendously.
And the Cleveland Guardians are down to their final 9 outs. Oh, 10 outs.
I'm down tremendously bad.
I was like, you're very ahead. Okay.
I'm down tremendously bad right now.
You think the team's going to lose?
Probably.
Give us your percentage chances for the Cleveland Guardians to win today's game three. In the sixth inning, down 2-1.
30% right now.
You're at 30%.
I'm at 30%. We can't hit. All right, I mean, we got lucky in the eighth and the ninth inning yesterday.
How about this?
I'm looking forward
to Mike changing his tune when Jose Ramirez knocks one out of the ballpark here, who's at the plate, and then all of a sudden the odds go to -115 in favor of Cleveland. And Mike saying they're going to the World Series. I'm looking forward to this.
I'm giving fake reactions here in the booth, pretending as if I'm a little bit ahead and jumping out of my seat.
Jose Ramirez, if anybody can do it, Mike, it's this gentleman right here at the plate.
Yeah, I know, but they're going to pitch around him. If anything, they're going to put him on first and not give him a competitive at-bat. Yesterday, Colin, Rocchio, who a month ago was in Columbus and a career about a .150 hitter, and then also Bo Naylor, career .180 hitter.
Had a terrible year.
I mean, it's just like, he hits home runs. Give him credit for that. But, like, you got that game yesterday. You needed to win. You needed to do what Detroit did. You needed, like, 5 from the starter and to be up 2-1 going into the late innings and not dip into the bullpen. Voter was in the bullpen before the third inning.
But now both teams are in the bullpen right now. Flaherty's out of the game. Finnegan's in the game. So you got a couple guys. Now it's anybody's ball
game. He's got 2 outs. They've been mowing us down since the, you know.
He's such a doomsday. All this will take is one swing of the bat. He's going to have a triple, and you're going to be like, oh, World Series, where do I buy my hat?
And a friendly reminder for everyone that's listening right now, we keep the live stream up and rolling during the game. I'm not going to break. You're going to be able to watch Mike Rizzo's visual reactions. Even if we're not in the middle of a segment, if we're at commercial, you will see his reaction contrasted with what's actually happening in the game with the GameCast on.
No sound.
That's ESPN West Palm on YouTube.
No sound because I might be dropping a couple explicits in the break. So let's not get in trouble.
Crowds on their feet, Mike. Big pitch.
Big
full count.
Pitch here.
Let's not get in trouble with the FCC today.
One swing.
That
to
wouldn't
bat.
Be me. That would
be
Oh, Mike, it's out.
No, it's not.
It's out.
Stop it.
That's out. That's deep left field. To the warning track. Caught. That's the end of the inning.
You put down a couple of cheeseburgers.
That's the end of the inning. That's the end of the inning. That was out, Mike.
I hate you guys.
What's the wind in Cleveland? That was out.
That was not a fake. Oh, my. I actually thought the ball was gone. That was me last night with a couple of the balls off the bats of the Red Sox.
A shrivel of what? Really?
So now.
You don't say.
So now you don't get Jose till. You might not see Jose Ramirez at the plate for the rest of the game.
You're definitely going to see him at some point the rest of the game.
I think statistically, they got 9 outs left. They'll see him once he gets hurt.
They'll see him. It's all right. Christian Katz got another wrestling event tonight. We'll loop in to see what he did yesterday instead of the Yankee game, game two. They have a huge game three tonight. We'll get into that. Get into a little 5 and 5. That's entering into the 5 o'clock hour presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.